Haggai chapter 1. If you turn just about to the New Testament, you will find it. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So we will read from Haggai, and then from the book of Revelation. And the message this morning is the command of God to his people to consider their ways and do something about them. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses, while this house lieth waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them into a bag of gold. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now, chapter 2, for the sake of time. Chapter 2, verse 15. "And now I pray you, consider from this day and backward." Verse 18. "Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward." Verse 13, the very last. "Consider it." Five times God uses this word consider, which literally means set your heart upon it. Now, Revelation chapter 2. Last week, we spoke on God's messengers with God's messages, and I told you that the word angel means messenger. So when we read to the angel of the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, it's to the messenger, because the angels have messages from God. This time, God addresses his message to the messenger. So in Revelation chapter 2, and look at verse 4. "But I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come to thee, and will move thy candlestick out of its place." Now in chapter 2, look at verse 18. "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like unto burnished brass. I know thy works." Verse 20. "But I have this against thee, that you allow the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols." Look at verse 24. "But to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are accustomed to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast till I come." Now, chapter 3, verse 1. "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. Be thou watchful, and establish the things which remain, which were ready to die, for I have found no works of thine perfected before my God." And look at verse 10. Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we're thankful that you have something to say to us. We fear our God, lest the day come when you say, let them alone, they are joined to their idols. But we're glad, our God, that your Son still speaks to us. We pray, Father, that as thy word bids us, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. And we pray that this is what we shall do today. Thou hast so many things to say to us, our God. We pray that we shall accept them as messages from thee, and that we shall hearken, that we shall obey, that we shall not be like those who turn away the ear, who harden the heart, but we shall be obedient children of God. So, our Father, this day by thy Spirit, empower lips and prepare hearts, and you have promised that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And that is what we do. Bless us this day, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I spoke Wednesday night about this subject, and I brought to our attention from Psalm 11 this verse. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I told you that there were two things. The first thing that you can do is nothing. Because God had decreed that because of sin, the foundations, I was applying this to the temple, the foundations were to remain destroyed for 70 years. And so the only thing that you could do is to endure the judgment of God until it had run its course. But the message is not to us today that the foundations are destroyed. That is why I read to you from Revelation as well as from the book of Haggai. Because in the book of Haggai, the foundations had been destroyed. And the exhortation was, the 70 years having run their course, what are we to do if the foundations are destroyed? Build them again. So that was the exhortation, the message from God in the days of Haggai, in the days of Zechariah. Build the foundations again. But in our case, and that is why I read to you from Revelation, the situation is different. It is not the foundations have been destroyed. What can the righteous do? But the message is that the foundations are crumbling. The foundations are about to be destroyed. What can the righteous do? And that is why I read the words that our Savior himself spoke from heaven. Not this time, on earth in the days of his flesh, but this time, high, lifted up, the exalted one. This time, our Savior is not speaking about building the foundations, but preserving the foundations. Do you see the difference? There is a difference. After so long a time, the foundations crumble, and they remain destroyed for that length of time that God has decreed. But in the book of Revelation, the message to them is that the foundation has not been destroyed. It is crumbling, but it has not been destroyed. And you look at it, and you see a stone that is loose. You see a stone that has fallen out. But the Savior does not say, the foundations have been destroyed. He said, hold fast that which thou pass till I come. He says, establish the thing that remains. You see the difference? He does not say, when one stone is loose, when another stone has fallen, he does not say, the foundations are destroyed, leave them alone. But he says, the foundations are being destroyed. He said, hold fast that which thou hast. He says, establish the things that remain. And how this is brought about is by a consideration of the way of the people of God and the courage to do something about it. Is it not remarkable that the churches that had so many good things that Christ could say about them, at the same time, except for two, he said, nevertheless, I have something against thee. I have somewhat against thee. And so the Savior is giving a command to his people to consider their ways. But when is the last time you have considered your ways? Tell me. When? One of the most painful things is the consideration of your ways honestly in the presence of God. Why? Think of the church that Christ says, you have a name that you live in, you're dead. Who wants to consider such things? Nobody. And at Thyatira, and at Pergamos, and at Laodicea, when Christ says, you say, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And Christ said, you're miserable and naked and blind and destitute. Who wants to consider those things? And some of us refuse to consider those things. And yet, if there is not going to be a consideration of your ways, there is not going to be any establishing the things that remain. But as one stone has fallen, another will fall. And just as Nebuchadnezzar completely destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, so all the spiritual foundations of the church that we hold sacred, they also shall be destroyed. And for how long, God alone knows. But that time has not yet come. So what happens is this, that when God challenges and commands his people to consider their ways, in the days of Haggai, they had something to say to him. He said, do you understand that my temple lies waste? And they had thoughts for God. They said, oh yes. He said, but the time has not come. It is not the time to build the house of God. So that's a wonderful thing to do. You see, when you consider your ways, you consider that the house of God lies waste and you are doing nothing about it. And God says, consider that. And you consider it and you say, I've considered it. It's not the time to build the house of God. Isn't that a delightful thing to do? But God does not let it rest there. He says, I see. He said, well, is it a time for you to dwell in your sealed houses while the house of God lieth waste? And they have no answer for that, because the disparity is so evident that it grips their soul and their sight. And then God says, consider your ways. They have not even considered to the point of action that God's things were destroyed and yet their things were in the finest of conditions. They dwelled in sealed houses. And God said, is it time then for you to look to all the things that pertain to you and your comforts and your glory, while you abandon work upon the house of God? Now, they could have said this, because I've been telling in the past messages about the different messages that God gives to his people. In Jeremiah 29, the message from God was just that. Let the foundation of God remain as it is for 70 years until the judgment has run its course. He said, build houses, dwell in them, marry, have children, plant gardens, pray for the city where you are in exile. He said, this is what you're to do. And what happened was that they enjoyed that message so much that when the judgment of God had run its course and God said, now, it's time to build, they said, oh no, it's not time to build God's house. I see. 70 years isn't long enough for the judgment of God to fall upon you? Oh yes, it's long enough. He said, then the judgment has run its course. It is time for you now to build again the foundation of God. But they were comfortably ensconced in Babylon, and they replied when God said, consider your ways. They said, we have considered them. It is not time to build the house of God. God said, then I have something else for you to consider. He said, the things that had been happening in your life. He said, everything you do, have you considered that for 17 years, everything has gone wrong? What do you mean, have I considered it? He said, this. He said, you eat, but you're not full. You drink, but you're not full of drink. You put clothes on, but you're not warm. And you earn wages, but you put them in a bag that holds. Have you ever considered that? Well, we've thought about it. We thought it was very strange that everything seemed to go wrong. God said, consider this. He said, consider that I am the one who brought all of these things about. They're not chance. It's not the cause of the economy. He said, I did it. He said, I am the one who called for a drought upon the mountain, upon the land, upon man and upon beast. He said, I called for these things. It was not accident. It was a purpose. He said, consider this. And at that time, the people of God were experiencing all of these disappointments, dissatisfaction. They lacked fulfillment in their lives. And God said, consider that it is I who caused all of these things to turn out the way they are. Consider that. And having said that, it says that the message went to the heart of Joshua the son of Jehozadak and to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and to all the people. And it said they feared and they rose up and they worked. But it was not until they put their hands upon their mouth with these excuses that it's not the time to do the work of God. It's the time to live comfortably in the world. I see. To be like the earth dwellers. And that was the message they gave. But finally, when the message of God through Haggai came to them, it gripped the hearts of the civil leader, of the religious leader, of all the people. And then they put away their excuses and they busied themselves with the work of the house of God. And what had not been done for 17 years, in 4 years, was completed. And so in 516, the house of God was completed, and God said, I am glorified by the work that you've done on that house. So now, here we are in our day, and what God is saying is not that the foundations are destroyed, but he is saying to us, the foundations are crumbling. But when God says that, the people at Laodicea say, no, we're rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And God said, consider this. I'm telling you that you are not rich and increased in goods. You're poor and blind and wretched and miserable. And you who say you have a name that you live, that's your reputation, you are dead. He said, I want you to consider that. And when such thoughts as these are considered, we either have to do one of two things. We have to give a reply to God that is weak and feeble, and I wonder if we can even convince ourselves to believe it. That we have a name that we live. You see, the assemblies, why, we are the people of God. We teach people the way of God more perfectly, you see. Yes, we have a name that we live, but we are dead in comparison to what we were in the past. That is the excuse that we give. And at the same time, all of the glories that we had in the past, they are crumbling, and all the things that I used to take for granted, they are perishing, and the Lord Jesus wants us to know that. And so it is not to build again the foundation, but to preserve what is left of the foundation that still remains. That is the message of God to us today. And are we willing to consider it? Let me give you an example. It used to be that among the denominations, one who was truly a Christian, just as Apollos would come, then we as Aquila and Priscilla would take them into our homes and teach them the way of God more perfectly. And this, and I simply want you to consider it, this is such a strange thing, that do you realize that the doctrines that they teach at Dallas Theological Seminary, all of these truths that they teach there, that you will find that they originated with those men that rose up just in the first quarter of the 1800s, you realize that that is where they got all of those doctrines. But now, instead of our teaching the world, we have to go out and get the world to teach us. This is what I mean. We know how excellent a teacher Lehman Strauss is, but now, instead of our teaching Lehman Strauss, we invite him in to teach us. Don't you see that something is wrong there? This man knows so much, but he doesn't know enough to gather to the name of the Lord, and yet we are so destitute, but we have a name that we live, we bring him in. You say, well, what's wrong with that? I'm not saying as John did, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name who followeth not us, and we forbade him. The Savior said, forbid him not. But he did not say to join that. The Savior did not say, he's casting out demons. You remember the time when they tried to cast out demons? He did not say, well, go get him and bring him and learn some things from him. No one can deny this, that those who were following Christ, the 12 apostles, nobody could say, that is your way of doing it. We do it our way. If we are following Christ, contradict that that is what should not be done. You say no. And if a man is not following Christ, no matter how much power he has, there is something wrong. And Christ says, do not forbid him. And this is the shame, that they indeed are casting out demons. That is doing something of reality, power. And yet Christ has not said, well then, lead thee and follow them. He says, simply, he said, forbid them not, because they cannot speak a word or do a word in my name and then speak lightly of me. So I think of that. And this is what was so embarrassing. And a younger man who is in the work of the Lord said this to me. He said, do you know the brother that is now in this place in an assembly? I said, no. He said, oh, he is a Baptist minister. He was preaching one day in the Baptist, and now they've taken him and brought him over, and now he is the pastor for them. I said, isn't that a remarkable thing? We who once understood that there was no clergy, and that there was no laity, and that God's Son, when he sent it on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, and among these gifts it was for the work of ministering to the building up of the body of Christ. I said, is that so? And a young man, not an older man, but a young man said, why, there is something that is wrong there. And one other thing, when some years ago, 1 or 2 years ago, I was invited to speak at an assembly because I had some friends there that I had known and had taught them some truths. When I went there, the assembly was entirely different from what we had found in His Word and what we had been accustomed to. And I tell you these things, it doesn't matter what it does or what you like, I'm going to tell you. God's Word says every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. And those that previously, for years, had been covered when they prayed or prophesied, I looked and the coverings were gone. Those that had learned from God's Word, and I personally have a hand in it, in teaching them these things. And I said, how is this? And this was the answer. They said, well, in this church, the elders told us that the women are permitted to be covered or uncovered, just as it pleased them. We elders give you that authority. I said, isn't that a remarkable thing? I wonder if the elders can say also about the Lord's Supper, whether it's important. I wonder if they can tell about the preaching of the gospel, if that is important. And what is so sad is that those that knew, the moment they heard that the elder said, in this church, you may be covered or you may not be covered, off they came immediately. Conviction? The Apostle Paul said, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean of itself. Here was about the laws that he had followed in the Old Testament. He said, I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ. If a persuasion is such that you can come to a meeting and the elders in this meeting tell you that what is so plainly set forth in the Word of God, why here you may observe it or you may not observe it, why here you may be baptized or you may not be baptized. And I challenge, show me anyone who immediately upon believing was not baptized. Why, I cannot show you that. That was a practice in the New Testament. But here, it is unimportant. If you wish to be baptized, that is good. If you do not wish to be baptized, that is all right. We will take you in. Do you not understand that the stones are crumbling and falling down? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to the churches in Revelation 1 and 2. He says, hold fast that which thou hast. He says, establish the thing that remains. And that is what we are to do. Because some things, once the children of God hear or see a weakness in the teachings or the leadership that they are not to carry out, as the Lord Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things that I command you, when they see that they may pick and choose the things that Christ commanded, then the ones that are convenient and pleasing to them, they will choose those. The others, they will cast them aside. And when that happens, the stones get looser and looser, and they crumble, and they fall to the ground. Well, thank God, at least some things remain. Let me mention the Lord's Supper, because that is basic. It says in Acts 2:42, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and the prayers. And now, the Lord's Supper. Why, just as in the book of Malachi, the Lord's table, applying it to us, what a weariness it is. And so some have seen what to do about that. Now, that's not a very popular meeting. You see, the people get nothing out of it. And so what we're going to do is to relegate it from the prime time of importance. And some have said, I know what we can do. Some have gone to this extreme. We will tack it on at the end of another meeting. You see, they haven't abandoned it, but they have taken its importance and they have made it of no importance. And you do not realize that the things are crumbling. Hey, we have a name that we live, but we are dead. And also this, do you not realize that the Savior said, whatever was written in the Old Testament, he said, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, saving for the cause of fornication, if he marries another, he commits adultery. And the people of God, did they accept it or reject it? And so, if there is divorce and remarriage, and not on the ground of fornication, and they come, The Savior said, if you put her away and marry another save on the ground of fornication, you're committing adultery. And so they come and say, here we are. The obvious thing is that you have no part nor lot in this as long as an adulterous union continues to exist. But instead of that, and this is what shattered me, that in my own meeting years ago, there was a dear brother older than I. And while I was away, a lady in our meeting had been unfaithful to her husband. She was approached and pleaded with, and she got back with her husband. But then she divorced her husband and married another man that professed no faith in Christ. And therefore, she was committing adultery. And while I was gone, I did not realize it, but this man and the others had considered whether or not she should be permitted to come and have fellowship as usual in the meeting. And when I came back, I said, no, it's not going to happen. I said, the Savior has said that marriage is sacred and this thing is going to be maintained. But had I not said that, then that stone of the sanctity of marriage and what God has joined together, let not man put asunder, it would have been destroyed. And the Savior is saying, hold fast that which thou hast till I come. And yet we say, we have a name that we live. We are rich and increased in goods. And look at the message that Christ has given to us. That is the thing that matters. It is not what reputation we have. It is not what we think of ourselves, but it is what the Savior says about it. Therefore, he says, establish the things that remain. It's not that the foundation is gone. We have remembered the Lord this morning. That I am not as old as some of you, but I can remember the time when at the remembrance meeting, the heart was drawn near to God and Christ was worshipped and exalted. And it was not a meeting, what a weariness it is, but it was a meeting when we could hear the glories and perfections of the Son spoken to the Father. And it was a time of joy. And it was a time when the priesthood of all believers was exercised, and some of them at least knew how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, let me tell you this. All who are looking at the denomination understand this. Yes, we are feeble. Yes, we have amateurs that are preaching for us. But understand this, that God says concerning us that we are to maintain that which he teaches, whatever the cost. There is the priesthood of all believers. Now, concerning those that you admire, and I do too, I've seen Charles Stanley. Thank God for that man and the faithful message that he gives. Thank God for Lehman Strauss. I preached personally for Dr. DeHaan years ago. Thank God for him and any message that goes forth. But understand this, that if you went and challenged them and demanded that they carry out the teachings of God's word about marriage and divorce, they would crumble. If you told them about clergy and laity, they would crumble. If you told them about the priesthood of all believers, they would crumble. And if you let them come and try to stand up and worship God in spirit and in truth, they would crumble. Why? Because what they have is what God said to Samuel about. He said, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me. And let them have King Saul. And what is so shameful is this. They said, make us a king, like unto the nations, round about. I see, a theocracy was not good enough. They wanted a monarchy like unto the nations round about. And the sad thing is this, that when they demanded it, God said, you may have it. So, at times, I used to glory in the distinction that was among those that gathered to the name of the Lord and those round about. But now, the sad thing is that we are glorying in those nations round about, and we want to be like unto them, and I do too if they are following the word of God, but not if they are not following the word of God. clergy, laity, the priesthood of all believers, the woman's place, the social standings in life, all of these things are being attacked and the foundations are being destroyed. But the Lord Jesus says to us, he says, you hold fast that which you have until I come. And what do I intend to do about it? Why, the very thing that God told Timothy to do. He said, I'm telling you as a young man, I'm about ready to leave the scene. He said, but it's for you. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will keep to themselves teachers, they will abandon the things of God. And so what does God say now? He doesn't say to look with regret upon the foundation that is destroyed, but he said the time will come. And he said, now you preach, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come. And that is why I read to you from Revelation. In Haggai, it was evident. The foundation had been destroyed. It had been destroyed, and it was going to remain destroyed for 70 years. But the foundation, as yet today, has not been destroyed. And what are we to do? We are to establish the things that remain. And I will tell you, as best I am able, the sacredness of the doctrines that are peculiar and that are practiced by the assemblies of God's people. That is what we are to do. But the Lord tells you, the time will come when they will not endure it. Why? Because it's much easier, it is much more glorious to the flesh to be like unto the nations round about us. So what shall we do? We're to establish the things that remain. He said, hold fast that which thou hast till I come. And would it not be a sorrowful thing if I had run the race before, as if I were in a marathon race, and I've run for 25 miles, but suddenly, because of something I hear, some object that is cast before my path, I should stop running at the last. And the Lord Jesus says that, hold fast that which thou hast till I come, that no one take thy crown. And that is what Christ tells us. You do not get a crown for running 25 miles in the marathon, but you have to run the 26 miles and the other yards as well. And then when you finish, you get the crown. And that's what Paul said. I said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me. And so what is the message to us when the foundations are crumbling? He says, establish that which remains. Strengthen, he says, hold fast that which thou hast till I come. And the Lord Jesus asked this question. He spoke about people persevering in prayer as that widow woman. And he asked this question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And only you can answer that. By God's grace, he shall find it in me, shall he find it in you. Let us pray. Now, Father, we do give thee thanks that thou dost tell us in thy word the things that you would have us to hear. Some of them are pleasant things. We are glad when one who is at the point of death, we hear from you, thou shalt live and not die. We thank you. We are sad, Father, when thou dost say, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. And we are so glad when we hear words like these, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we are sad when we realize that thy son shall say to some, thou wicked and slothful servant. So, our Father, what things do remain, let us make sure that they are foundational, that they are of thee. And if they are, our God, let us maintain them, lest the time come when the foundation completely crumble, and then remain in that condition